The real curse was the real curse of Adam wasn't just necessarily working through thorns and thistles. It wasn't that. It was really being disconnected from understanding God. And today we're going to talk about breaking the bread of sorrow. We're going to get a lesson on what really is the tree of life. And it's something powerful here. So I'm going to take my time and just keep your ear to the wall. Don't lose me today, because I promise you, by the time this is done, we're gonna break eating out of the bread of sorrows. That thing's gonna be destroyed, because it's no longer in Christ Jesus at all. It really and truthfully isn't. So we start off with a Holy Ghost note. If Adam and Eve were able to eat of the tree of life, they would have never eaten their bread in sorrow, which actually translates fear or anxieties. They would have known life as they always did before the fall. So can you imagine having a sinful nature on you, but yet you still live like you always did live in Eden? That would have been catastrophic. That would have been, boy, oh boy, that would have been something else. If we could live in sin, it would be like loving God and mammon at the same time. It would be like being able to do that we embrace the wealth and we embrace riches and we regard it in our own way and we regard God. It's an impossibility. So it wasn't just about living forever. It was also about living in a place of success. When they ate from that tree really birthed success. It birthed sweatless. It birthed what Kurt's prayer is: less work, more pay. And eating from the tree gave them no work and all pay, to be perfectly honest with you. It was the less work and more pay dimension that they lived in. Seriously, they would have been able to function in the wisdom and understanding of God as they always did. They would have reaped the benefits, and life would have still been easy if they were able to. But that wasn't the case. We look at Genesis chapter 3 again. We look at verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, we looked at the word good last week. We looked at it, and it means prosperity. But I looked at it again, and it had some powerful definitions pointing to substance. It was prosperity that she saw, but she saw that it was rich, and it also means it was valuable in estimation. It was valuable in that. So she saw value. She saw another level of substance that she didn't have and she wasn't supposed to have. And she saw that it was prosperous. And then it means prosperous, but not just of man's sensuous nature. So she opened up her sensuous nature, was open when she looked at God's substance that did not belong to her. And I think about that. You know, we're dealing with substance giving it still, because I'm telling you, it is the doorway to absolute peace. It is the doorway. It is a gateway to living in absolute peace with God. That when we are able to really let go of these earthly goods, again, it might not be something that you do physically that God challenges you. But you do not have a mindset that's attached to anything of this world. And
Amen.
so what happened when Eve saw it, it opened up her sensuous nature. And then I saw the definition also attached to the word good. It means welfare. And what God told me there was, when Satan was able to open up her sensuous nature, he also implemented his welfare system.
Oh, God.
His system of welfare on how man would now survive was now also unlocked because of this. He said he was going to sit on the mount of the on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and he did exactly that when he opened up the sensuous nature of man. So now his welfare system, because God, because Satan being the accuser that he is, now God would have to kick those guys out, which we're going to look at right now. So we look at verse 6 and we understand his plan was in full effect. This is where labor and sorrow was birthed. This right here, when she saw, just like when you begin to see that the substance in your life that you value more than God is not worth more than God, when you see it, God's welfare system is going to be put in full effect. Somebody say amen if you heard that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, so they touch substance not belonging to them. We, in essence, do the same thing, unfortunately. And we, in essence, get the same results. We eat our bread in sorrow. We eat our bread in sorrow, and it's the truth. As long as we hoard over, as long as we continue to keep God over here and our substance over there, we live in the same results. We live in the Adamic nature is what it's called, all right? So the results are found in verse number 16 and 17. It says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, which we dealt with last week. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, hence the bread of sorrows, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. If I ever pass away early, don't let them say over me, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, because I didn't return to dust. That's a part of the curse, all right? I found that out. That's nothing that you want said for you, because no, you to be absent from your body is to be present from the Lord. And that body is about to put on glory. So that dust thing was a part of the curse of Adam. All right, watch this now. Now, the word sorrow means worrisomeness. All right? The word worrisomeness, it means labor or pain. All right? This is how he's eating, in labor or pain, toil or hardship. I looked up some of the synonyms of worrisomeness. And listen, just watch now, just listen. Because if you're feeling any of these as, the bread of sorrow to me is like this, all right? You go on vacation and you take a vacation and you got so many things to deal with at home that you're not eating the bread of that vacation in joy. You're still thinking about the stuff you got going on.
Yeah.
You might be out to dinner, but then you're thinking about the things in which you need to get situated bill-wise. And you know you're eating dinner, and so you're having dinner, but yet and still you're concerned about the money you're spending on this when you could be doing that. Anytime you feel agitation, one of the synonyms is being agitated. Any type of agitation, it means you're somehow, some way, eating your bread in sorrows.
Jesus.
If you feel any type of anxiety, if it feels creepy, if it's disquieting, distressful, distressing, disturbing, fraught, hairy, nail-biting, nerve-wracking, nerve-wracking, nervousness, restlessness, tense, uneasy, unnerving, or unsettling. This is the bread of sorrows. Anytime you're trying to enjoy yourself, but something creeps up and reminds you that you got this to deal with or that That's the bread of sorrows. And that's how Adam would eat, not knowing that no guarantee that the ground was going to yield because of the thorns and thistles that were growing and choking out his sustenance and all the stuff he was going through. This is the bread of sorrows. This is. When we go buy a house, when we all move to buy homes, we should not have any kind of agitation, anxiety. We go and we pay cash. We move in. We move. Listen, we do things sweatless. When you're eating outside of the bread of sorrows, everything in our life becomes sweatless victory, because that's what Eden was unto Adam. It was sweatlessness. There was no such thing as labor, which we all know. But we often eat our bread in sorrows. And the Lord began to deal with me about this here. The Lord began to deal with me. And the reason why the bread would come in sorrow now is because the way of the tree of life is now closed off. We look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. And it says here, "And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand to take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Jesus. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, the word way is very important. The way to the tree was shut down completely. And what God did there was he perverted. The word way means to pervert, or it means to be reversed. So the way of the tree of life would be eating from the tree. And it wasn't just about living forever, but the tree of life produced a whole lot more, which we're going to find out in just a moment. And that's the tree that we begin to eat from, people of God, as we give our substance, the very thing Adam and Eve did by stealing substance not belonging to them, taking the Lord's prosperity. When we start to we start to give it back unto him, we detach ourselves from the Adamic nature in Christ Jesus, of course. But I'll tell you something. I'm going to say this, and some of y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but that's your choice. You could say the sinner's prayer, receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're guaranteed eternal life, but you're not guaranteed the life of the kingdom if you're not living in accordance to the word.
Wow.
You are guaranteed eternal life for believing that Jesus died and rose again. But you do not, it does not give you a guarantee of living in paradise, going from glory to glory. And the reason being is because there's a scripture I'm going to read to you in just a few that talks about being bound by our own evil, by the things that we do. We keep ourselves outside of the glory of God.
Jesus.
It's not because the word of God is not bound. Jesus is not bound. He's not bound at all. The word isn't bound, so neither is he. So what happened here is God, what he did in the fall of man, he perverted. They couldn't find their way back to the way that God had it for them. Everything now that the tree of life would produce, they were living in the reverse. They live literally in the reverse. So God perverted the way of the tree. And you're going to understand what I'm saying in just a moment. God perverted the way of the tree of life. He reversed the outcome. Instead of supernatural increase, instead of peace, man would live in fear now. The bread of sorrows. Man, God did this. God did this. Until the coming of his son, God did this. Man now would become slaves of substance and not givers of substance. Instead of it being freely given unto us, we now would labor to get it. Hence, the mindset of us of being owners would now settle in. And as long as the mindset of you being an owner of God's things, it means you're living in the reverse of the tree of life.
Wow.
You're living in, it's reversed now, where God was giving to you freely. Now you have a mindset that you're giving to yourself.
Yes, yes.
So now
yes.
The effects of the tree are now reversed. And I'm going to show you what the tree is supposed to produce. So the sword of the cherubim turned in every way. Well, the flaming sword, rather. It turned in every direction, every way, signifying that there was really absolutely no entry to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That way of living was now closed. It was finished. God gave them a type and shadow of it under the law, but they never came into the totality of it. Not even close. It's almost like the cherubim lives. Listen, this is what I heard the Lord say. It's like the cherubim lives in our minds when the way is reversed. Everything we do in self-effort is perverted. We get perverted results. We get perverted, a perverted mindset. We disconnect ourselves from God and we become Lord of ourselves and we decide what we're going to do, when we're going to do it. And that's not the way that we're supposed to be living. It brings forth the opposite of what the tree of life was intending to produce for us. All right, let's go look over in Proverbs and let's find out what truly is the tree of life. All right, we look at Proverbs chapter 3. This blew my mind. Seriously. It says in Proverbs 3, we're reading verses 13 through 18. It says here, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Okay, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. Listen to what it says it is. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that laid hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her.
Hallelujah.
Adam and Eve were kicked out of the understanding. They were literally kicked out of a life of rhema. They were removed from having rhema. They could not have rhema and not feel or live in the benefits of rhema. See, all the benefits of the tree of life are described right here in these verses. She's better than the merchandise of silver. Mm-hmm. The gain thereof is better than fine gold. So absolute wealth. She's more precious than rubies. Absolute wealth comes from the tree. And I remember reading in the book of Genesis that they talked about the gold that was there. It was not hidden under the earth. It was on top of the earth. The wealth of God was revealed. It was not something that they had to try to discover. It was in front of them. It says she's more precious than rubies. This is the tree of life now. And all the things thou canst desire, all of your desires. Everything you desire, whatsoever you desire when you pray, all of those desires are coming from the tree. And those desires being granted still cannot compare unto the tree. Because the tree is giving them to you.
Hallelujah.
Look at what Adam and Eve had here. Length of days. They had eternal life there. Length of days is in her right hand. And in her left, riches and honor. Watch this. This blew my mind here. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And look at what we find here. And all her paths are peace. So I'm not crazy, you see. Teaching on giving substance and releasing all that we hold dear unto God. This is the ultimate place of God's peace because we begin to eat from the same tree. Because the tree is nothing short than the rhema word of God. The tree is the rhema word of God. We're eating from the tree, but when we shut down and we don't start, we don't move in levels of rhema. We now kind of flip-flop back over to the curse or the Adamic nature. Because the tree is, listen, the tree, oh, you better hear me now. The tree is revealing substance giving. The tree is ready to put riches and honor into your life. The tree is doing this. The tree is producing this. This is what we're eating, and this is the sustenance coming from the tree. God is saying, honor me with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase. Why? Because I want you to know peace.
Bless God.
The tree is revealing peace. The tree is revealing no more sorrow, no more hardship, no more fear from what the world is not producing for you. God is saying, hey, this is what's on the tree. For every rhema is a part of that fruit. Even the leaves on the tree are for the healing of the nations. Just being able to merely rub up against the leaves, healing is there. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Wisdom and understanding. When you connect wisdom and understanding, anytime you see the word understanding connected to it, that's dealing with rhema.
Yes, God.
It's not just wisdom, it's now rhema. So now this wisdom and understanding is what, that's all Adam and Adam knew. That's right, I said Adam and Adam. They both were Adam before the fall. All they knew was the understanding of God. When God told Adam to dress and keep it, he was a steward over the garden. We're going to talk about that later in the message. When he told Adam to keep it, dress and keep it, the Lord told me, he said, Todd, you know all Adam had to do? There's just one command I gave Adam as his master and as his Lord to take care of the garden. Don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only command he had. The garden kept itself. There was no labor for Adam there. Not one time did Adam break a sweat.
Wow.
He said the only thing he needed to do to keep the garden dressed and kept was do not touch the tree that held knowledge of good and evil. And the garden was completely kept and dressed by God. And I'm going to give you proof of that, that when you live under stewardship, you don't live. You don't live by yourself. You live by your master's, his substance. And I'm going to show you. Oh, God, it's going to bless you. All right, here we go. So they lost the wisdom and understanding of God. They lost the life in the rhema word could produce and that kept a flow of substance in their lives. This is a description of what the tree of life does. It's got wealth. It's got health. It's got every desire that you have. It's all coming out of the tree. All of the paths begin. All your paths begin. Listen, imagine this. Your day, your paths, what you're going to do, it begins in peace and it ends in peace. So no path you take while you're eating from this tree, there's no hardship at all. Nothing, any endeavor that you have, it begins in God's welfare and it ends in God's welfare.
Amen.
Whatever you're trying to establish or accomplish, it's not a hard thing. It's easy from beginning to end. But now, because they ate of what they weren't supposed to, they now would only know manifestation through their own labor and efforts. Just like you can't serve God and mammon, listen, you can't eat the bread of sorrow and eat from the tree of life. Mm-hmm. It's either one or the other. Truly, we can see the reward of giving ourselves over to God. It all begins with honoring the Lord with our substance. The tree of life is the peace of God in its totality that flows through wisdom and understanding. It flows through rhema. Look at the definition of rhema. Watch this here. We're going to look at the definition of rhema a little bit later, and you're going to be amazed by it. All right, now there's a little bit of confirmation here in Proverbs 11:30. It says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And then it says in part B, he that winneth souls is wise. But part A of Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous, in other words, manifestation as the righteous walk in manifestation. Remember, he was trying to purify the sons of Levi as silver and gold is purified so they can offer an offering in righteousness. Why? So they could begin to see manifestation, the fruit of the righteousness in which they live. It becomes a tree of life. In other words, when you eat from it and you see how everything begins to line up, how everything in your life starts to, oh, glory be to God. Everything starts to line up because you're eating from it. You're releasing your substance. You're no longer owner of anything, but you're releasing it all over to God. And as a result of it, you begin to eat from the tree of life. And you see the fruit when you start to see and feel and experience God. That you're now, that you actually, your eyes become open. Just like their eyes opened in the reverse, your eyes open to what this tree really is producing in you. Zoe living, the God life comes alive like never before because you're eating no longer, you're no longer from the bread of sorrow, but you're eating from the tree of life.
Bless God.
Most Christians don't see fruit. They don't see manifestation due to righteousness. He said he was going to purify the sons of Levi, and he did. He did. He's doing it now in us. When you see manifestation due to living in the righteousness of God, it becomes the choice tree that you eat from, the tree of life you choose to live from. It becomes where you want to dwell. You opened up the paradise. You opened up Eden again, and God is your supply. God is your source.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
He's
Jesus.
your source in your body. He's your source in your mind.
Hallelujah,
He's
God.
your source in your soul, in every part. He becomes your source. And my God, all her paths are peace. You've elevated to another dimension. All the things you can desire will come to pass because you're eating from the tree of life. It'll be exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think because you're eating from the tree of life. You won't be eating your bread in sorrow. Revelations 2 and 7 says this: He that hath an ear, look at this, my goodness, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life,
Hallelujah, Jesus.
which is
Hallelujah.
in the midst of the paradise of God. Eden will open itself up. Why? Because you have an ear to hear. My goodness, where do we hear from? We learned it last week. We hear with our ears and we hear with our eyes. I overcome by hearing. I hear with my ears and I hear with my eyes. I see myself moving and doing it. I actualize and I become an overcomer. And then he says, I'll give them to eat of the tree of life. That's not a scripture for when we get raptured. That's a scripture for right now, praise
Yes,
God.
sir, right now.
Hallelujah, it's right
Hallelujah.
now.
Hallelujah, God.
Says to him that overcometh, how do I overcome? By hearing, by doing what I've heard. And I'll give them to eat of the tree of life. And I'll tell you where you're going to eat from. Listen, I'll tell you where you're going to eat from. You're going to eat in the midst of the paradise of God. Your paradise means Eden. I'm bringing you back into Eden. Hallelujah. A hearing ear is one that can hear through the ears and the eyes to actualize the thing, to do the word which is being spoken. That's how we overcome. This is how we break free from the bread of sorrows and feast like Adam and Eve feasted in the garden. Paradise, again, means an Eden. Listen to what it means. The upper regions of the heavens. According to the early church fathers, the paradise in which our first parents dwelt before the fall still exists. And it does. And it's in you right now. Now, you could have a flaming sword that's keeping you from the way of it, But if you get an ear to hear, that sword stops turning and you have direct access to it again. It's neither on earth, it says, or in the heavens, but above and beyond the world. I know where it's at. The hope of glory is in me. The hope of its glory is in you. But a hearing ear gives you access to it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We will eat in paradise and from paradise. There's an alarm going off right now, people of God. This is a Holy Ghost note. There's an alarm going off. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's an alarm going off right now in the realm of the Spirit. God is calling us completely unto himself. There's an alarm going off. The alarm of all trumpets is being sounded. The opportunity to return to Eden is right now in the earth. So God can be God and the glory of God can fill the earth through our lives. Take the time and begin to detach yourself from anything and everything that pertains to this life. Make the transition from owner and get back under being a steward.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Get back to being a steward. This is why we still eat the bread of sorrows. This is why. This is one of the reasons why. This is the main reason. Paul tells Timothy, he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. If we're suffering trouble, I need everybody to know this, and this is what God has been ministering to me. The word of God is not bound. That means the body of Jesus Christ is not bound either.
That's right.
It's not bound. If we suffer trouble, even unto bonds, it's because of what we're choosing to do. Listen, the body, yeah, we know where Satan wanted to sit. He wanted to sit on the thigh of the body of Christ. But I'm trying to tell you right now, if our head is free, so the body is also free. And I'm trying to tell you right now, the only thigh he's sitting on is you and me as individuals. But the body of Christ is not bound. He says, if I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I need to let the elect understand that there's another life. Not under bondage, not under the curse of Adam. There's another life that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. Here's how you break free. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Jesus said it. He prayed about it. He said, he actually told his disciples. He said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to my Father's. That where I am, you may also be.
Yes, God.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he, by the faithful, he cannot deny himself. My goodness, I'm learning something. The word is not bound at all. And if the word isn't bound, then Christ Jesus isn't bound. His body, listen, his body can be just as free as he is in heaven. He said he went, I'm telling you, to go so we can be where he is. Now, the word bound, it gets really interesting. Don't leave me now because I'm not done. The word bound means to forbid. All right? It means to prohibit. Declare to be illicit. The word illicit means forbidden by law or rules or custom. So this ties me back onto Satan again. He's trying to prohibit. He's trying to keep us from eating from the tree and to continue to eat in the bread of sorrows. He's trying there. He's the one forbidding us, and he's exercising it by the truth. And what is he telling the truth of? The evil things in which we do. He's forever an accuser of the brethren. All right, watch this now. So we're prohibited by our own evil doing. There's a tree of life on the inside of all of us, ready to produce in the same like fashion that it did for Adam and Eve. Sweatless victory. Less work, more pay. No work, all pay. Satan exercises the truth against us. He stands as our accuser. But watch this here. It says in Revelations 12, 10 and 11, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, listen to all that's come. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Why? For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame, this really blew up. And they overcame him, who? The accuser. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, the fruit that they saw, the fruit of the righteous becomes the word of the testimony. And they love not, I love this part, and they love not their lives unto death. They gave all their substance.
Bless God.
They overcame by the blood. What? How does the blood flow? The blood flows through the rhema word of God. They overcame by the rhema. Only time you get touched with the blood of Jesus is by being under the rhema. Jesus said, you are now clean by the words in which I spoke. The word, wait. The blood is what cleanses us. So that means the blood is flowing out of the word. So now I'm overcoming by the rhema as I'm a doer of the rhema. Listen, as I'm a doer of what the rhema is giving. As I'm a doer, I'm eating from the tree, but I'm also overcoming the accuser. I know why I've been stuck with the bread of sorrows, because every time I mess up, every time I do this, don't get me wrong. Every time I habitually continue to do things wrong, the accuser stands there and saying, listen, this is no different from what Adam and Eve did.
It's truth.
Therefore, the curse of Adam stands.
It's the truth.
It stands. Satan is standing there in court. I'm telling you, I've taught this in the past, but seeing it from this dimension is unbelievable. He's standing there in court to hold the old contract of the Adamic nature and that we continue to eat our bread in sorrow. And we continue to labor like that, that the curse of Adam is still not lifted. Why? Because of our own evil, we suffer unto bonds. Paul said that to Timothy. Watch this now. Satan, as we know, stands as our accuser. This is how we continue to eat the bread in sorrow. He shows God how we continue to live in the old Adamic nature. So the curse of Adam is still in effect. Remember, people, listen, don't sit there and talk about but we're under grace. Yeah, you better believe we're under grace, but listen, grace is the divine influence of God on our hearts and minds. And then it has a reflection in our life.
Yes.
If God's divine influence is not on your mind, you're not under grace. God's influence is your grace. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
God's influence is your grace. If his influence is not what's controlling your life, then how in the world are you under grace? We have this freely given unto us from grace to grace because of Jesus. We have access to God and God has access to us. But if we're not living under the divine influence, if we're saying no to the rhema word, then how in the world are you under grace? Come on, man, it becomes real simple. Do you feel the effects of eating bread in sorrow? Do you feel the hardship of life? Do you feel the anxieties and fears that rise up because you owe this? You got to rob Peter to pay Paul. You got to do this to do that. Or are you in a position, even when you have enough? How fearful are the ones that have enough? They don't even want to let go like the rich young ruler did.
True.
So don't tell me you have abundance, so that means you're under grace. No, those that have abundance live mostly in more fear of losing what they have. Jesus, help us.
Yes, God.
So now we see where Satan stands there. But when we love our lives, we love not our lives unto death. That describes to me someone that has given all of himself or herself. There's nothing that they're holding on to. This is how we overcome the accuser. Remember, the first fall was two people taking what didn't belong to them. That was not in the plan for their life. So when you begin to love your life to the point of death, where you're dying to everything, now the accuser, he can't stand and accuse you for anything. Now you're an overcomer. Now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now you're living in paradise. You're back in Eden. Now, the word accuser literally means Satan in the Greek. And it means this, and I thought about this. This is really powerful. I thought about you here, Ella Allison. It means against one in the assembly. Look at that. Look at where he's at. He's in the assembly, in the congregation.
Yes.
He stands in the congregation watching you to accuse you. Hence, he sits on your thigh with accusations of why you should not be eating from the tree of life and enjoying its benefits. He saw Adam and Eve fall. He saw what God did to them. So he says, I'll just sit here and I'll make sure they continue not to give their substance. I'll sit in the assembly as they hoard and they become gods over their own things and what they have or what they feel they want to do and how they want to do it. I'll sit here. And just like Adam and Eve ate their bread in sorrow, so will the church. So will the church. They'll be crying, grace, grace. They'll get grace, but then the grace doesn't penetrate to the point where it becomes their influence. They just want a quick fix.
Jesus.
But they don't become influenced by it. So therefore, the bread of sorrows is what they'll eat from. Watch this. So we overcome by the blood. We know the blood flows and cleanses us by the way of Rhema word. Watch this, guys. Then we seeing, when seeing the testimony of what the tree of life is able to produce, we fall out of love with our own selves unto death. When you see what this tree can do for you, you will not love yourself anymore. And to die with Jesus is to live with Jesus. So now the body is really attached to the head again. No more bread and sorrow. Remember the word rhema. Watch this now. Remember, Satan's accusing, right? Remember, don't. Here's an old story for you. I thought about Jay with this one. Rhema means a matter of dispute, case at law. So while Satan is accusing, as I'm living in the rhema, I trump him. I beat him at his own game. Rhema in me, as I'm walking in the rhema, it becomes my legal defense.
Yes,
and I
does.
Win. So now his accusations of why I should be eating my bread in sorrow no longer stick.
Awesome.
Because rhema now has become my legal defense, and it is the wisdom above all wisdom. It is understanding. In fact, what you're doing there is you're communicating in the mind of the judge himself. The judge himself says, that's exactly how I would do it. That's exactly how I do things. So the judge only sees you as being innocent. Glory be to God. So the rhema becomes a matter of dispute. It becomes your case at law. So when we live in and by the rhema word, it defeats the accuser every time. So the penalty of sin, the curse of Adam, is destroyed. No more bread of sorrow.
Hallelujah, God.
One last reason here, all right? And I'm closing there. Why we need to go from owners to stewards. Watch this, this is so simple, all right? When you're an owner of something, you control it. When you're a steward of something, you're a distributor of someone else's goods. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Listen to this now. The steward was wasting his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Listen to what the steward says. There's a mighty, mighty key here of how the steward was living when he was a good steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. I said, Lord, there it is right there. This man lived under his Lord. He had no labor, and he wasn't begging for anything. He lived almost in a supernatural dimension of provisions. Only thing he did was distribute his Lord's goods. Jesus, somebody better catch this. He said, I cannot dig. I never knew how to labor. I've only known how to be a steward. Jesus, help us here. I only understood the word steward means this, a house distributor to whom the head of the house or proprietor or a proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs, the care of receipts and expenditures. He's a distributor of his master's goods. He said, being a distributor of my master's goods, I never knew how to dig. I don't know how to do hard labor. Why? Because I live as a steward. I never begged. Why? Because I'm under my master's covering. He takes care of me. I have nothing to worry about. I don't know how to live any other way. See, when you live as a steward unto the Lord and you're giving of his substance, understand, man, it's not even yours to begin with. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the worlds and they that dwell therein. You too will say as this steward, I don't know how to labor. I just sow. I just give as he tells me and where he tells me to give.
Yes.
I never have to beg. Why? Because he's always blessing me. You see, when you're an owner and you take an ownership mentality, it's because you're still laboring in thorns and thistles. It's because you're eating the bread, your bread in sorrow. No, no, no. Step up to another dimension. I'm here to tell you right now. Get a revelation of being a steward of the Most High God, and you'll live another lifestyle. You'll come into riches and honor that you could not believe. You'll eat from the tree of life freely, but your mentality has to change that what you think you're earning is yours. No, you're a steward. You're a house distributor. He said, I can't dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I ain't never begged for nothing. I never labored. I simply distribute from my master's house. And I live a great life. You see, as long as the steward was managing his Lord's substance, he didn't have to labor or beg. He was well provided for. The results will be the same for us. Labor will cease. And we will never beg for bread. But as long as we try to run the house and be the head of the house, we lose our stewardship benefits.
Jesus.
Just like this man did. What is the Lord saying here? He's saying, release what you feel you own and come into Eden and let me provide for you.
Oh, God, I bless you.
Let me provide for you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let me keep the city. Let me watch over you. Let me take care of you. Eat from my tree freely. It's going to produce all I said it would. Riches and honor. Length of days. All of the paths. All of your paths will be full of peace. Adam was called to dress and keep the garden too. He was simply a steward. The only job he really had, as I said before, the only job he had was not to touch the tree that had the knowledge of good and evil. The only command, and the garden would stay dressed and he would live. He never knew, just like the steward. Adam didn't know about digging. He didn't know about planting seed. God planted all that he ate. God
Jesus.
did that. And the trees, you take a piece of fruit, it returned right then and there. It was constantly being refurbished. It just kept it. It was plenteousness. It was paradise. There was no stress. The steward said the same thing. Man, I don't know how to dig. I don't do no labor work. And I always had plenty. I'm not begging. I can't see myself.
Oh. Glory to God.
But that mentality, that Adamic mentality, that has been our curse. That I labored for this. I worked for this. I went out there. I busted my behind. I went to school for this. I got this knowledge. I got this job. I did this. No, you didn't. The earth is the Lord's in the full. He's sharing ownership with you.
Amen.
But he's doing it in the form of you being a steward. Jesus, our Lord, he said, let the greatest be the servant. He was simply a steward of the rhema word and of God's power. He was a servant. He didn't take ownership. They called him good. He said, no, there's only one good. That's not even me. I can't even take credit for that. He's good in me. He was a steward of the Father. When you let go and you take on the mentality, you're going to eat from the tree of life. You're going to eat from the tree of life. You're going to enjoy what comes from that tree. Every rhema is a piece of fruit from the tree of life unto us. Every rhema. I couldn't pick apart a piece of fruit and decide I want the vitamin C from it. I don't want the vitamin D. I don't want any other vitamin. You can't take it apart. I couldn't. You don't physically. We don't have the knowledge or the know-how to take a piece of fruit and divide its sustenance and its nourishment. So I'm going to say this, and I'm closing. You can't pick and choose what you want the tree to give you. You receive what the tree is giving you. You can't take apart the nourishment. And you'd be a fool if you wanted to do that anyway. Because whatever the tree is releasing is exactly what you need.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm closed right there.
Amen, God.
Finished right there. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah, Master. Hallelujah, Jesus.